you can get to a place where there's little self-respect for a moment. You're really down on yourself. Mm-hmm. You can get to a place where you lose hope. You can get to a place where there's no relief, like even after crying for a while. You kind of like just don't pull out of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some scriptures out there, and I'm going to reference an issue here in just a moment. That's why we're talking about depression. But Proverbs 17:22 says this, "A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones."
Yeah.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "It's by sorrow of the heart that the spirit is broken." Let me give you some names, you guys, just by way of introduction. Elijah. Some say Nehemiah. Some say Jonah. Many say Jeremiah. Think of names in history like Winston Churchill, Martin Luther, the great Martin Luther. Okay? And today, and we're not going to talk about his case, but in modern-day Christianity, the name Matthew Warren has now come to the surface. Virtually everyone by now has heard that Rick and Kay Warren's son, Matthew at age 27, died. Mm-hmm. And a lot of factors in his life. I don't know all that much about it, but a lot of people now are talking about depression and anxiety issues. And people want to know about how significant this is and how heavy it is. When you step back, you all, and I think hopefully as a result of engaging this topic this morning, maybe there's some people who are listening who have been battling depression for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a mild form, could be more major depression. And what concerns me is making sure that we get help. Are there times when there's such a thing as treatment-resistant depression where it can get so overwhelming that it's really tough to break through? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of questions that surround it. Let me give you some stats here, and we'll go into our first break. 20%, about 20%, that's one out of five, are going to experience a depression so much so during their life they won't even be able to get out of bed.
Wow.
The World Health Organization says depression is the second most common cause of disability worldwide after cardiovascular disease, heart disease.
Mm.
It's number two. They say within the next 10 years, depression will become number one, you guys. Women, by the way, are two times more likely than men to get depression. We'll talk about why in a moment. Wow. If you're born after the age 1950, okay, that's most baby boomers, virtually everybody listening, you're 10 times more likely to get depression than your parents. If you're between the ages of 25 and 45, you're in that age group where there's greatest percentage of people who are depressed. Adolescents now have the fastest rate of depression growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common in the elderly. You got mom or dad at home, they're probably battling some level or form of depression. What does that all come to? 24 million people a year in any given year, 24 million battle with depression. Heart disease, 17 million.
Wow.
Cancer, 12 million. HIV, 1 million. Depression, you all, 24 million. And it may even get to the point where you consider saying life's not even worth living anymore. The good news, before we go out, 80 to 90% of people respond positively to treatment. There are a lot of people out there who don't even recognize it. If they did, they wouldn't be fighting what they don't need to fight.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about depression.
Today, our topic is depression.
There it is. See,
that's a tough
that's
one.
That's natural for everybody to do that. Whoa,
yeah, when you hear the word.
Hey, and think about this for a moment, too. It's just a sidebar. Do you like being around depressed people?
No.
Linda?
No, it's a downer.
It brings
you
down.
I'm sorry to say it does bring you down.
Okay, it was important for you guys to say that because the truth is nobody likes being around depressed people. Why?
Because it brings you down.
Yeah, and all they talk about is what?
Problems.
Just problems, negativity.
Yeah, and so
things wrong.
When they're coming down the hallway, it's like, dude, I'm jumping in. I'm going in this office. Why? Because don't wear me out. Mm-hmm. I got enough of my own
problems. Most are struggling anyway.
Think about it. By the way, it only reinforces then in their life what?
Oh, the depression.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Because they start thinking nobody cares.
Yeah.
No one's interested. No one's engaged.
Nope.
Yeah, and they feel more isolated and alone. Think of it this way just for a moment. Depression is a theory of disengagement. You begin to withdraw to get control.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I need space. I can't handle this. And it's natural then to what?
Withdraw.
You bet. Which, by the way, only reinforces the
Depression.
What are some of the signs of depression? Listen to these, and we're going to go to break. There it is. Loss of interest in normal, everyday things. Mm-hmm. Big hallmark of depression. Okay? Yeah. Just kind of going flat.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick or choose, let's just say four of these for a moment. Weight loss or gain. Next thing you know, you've heard of emotional eating, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You go through a divorce. You go through the loss of a child.
Mm-hmm.
You go through a loss of a job. Life starts getting brutal to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like sucking your thumb. You hear what I'm saying? You're sitting back.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, you emotionally eat. Or by the way, you won't eat at all. The second thing, a change of appetite. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't eat. I don't feel like eating.
Yeah.
Or it kind of goes with the weight loss, weight gain piece. See that?
Sure.
The increase or decrease of sleep. Mm-hmm. Feel like I can't even get out of bed. Like I don't know.
All I want to do is sleep.
Yeah. I just can't get out. Or mm-hmm. flip it on its head. I can't stop my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't sleep.
Mm-hmm. No rest.
Yeah. Sleep loss, sleep deprivation, you all, is horrible.
Yeah.
And it aggravates.
Yeah, it can even lead to psychotic episodes, seriously. Sleep loss. The third thing here that we're picking, or the fourth thing that we're picking from, weight loss or gain, change in appetite, little or excessive sleep. The next one is slowed movements or agitation and behavior. I just feel sluggish. I feel lost. I just can't. I don't have any pick me up. You got what I'm saying? I'm just.
Or. Agitated.
Aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Decreased energy or fatigue. Feelings of worthlessness or guilt.
Mm.
Like inappropriate or excessive. Always pounding on yourself. See that?
Yeah.
And then you can even get to a place where thoughts of taking your own life. And by the way, a significant number of people who are depressed actually go there and begin thinking about it. About 30% of people who are clinically depressed actually attempt taking their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the way, it's more common than you can imagine.
Yeah.
The biggest area of concern that I have is in adolescence. Kids just get into a place where it gets out of control. Now, let me say this. Mm-hmm. These type of signs are almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Right.
Yeah. Now, there are different types of depression. People need to understand this. We usually think of the major depressive episodes where people are stuck and they're lost.
Yeah.
And that's true. The bipolar episodes are, it used to be called manic, excessive highs and excessive lows.
Yeah.
I always tell the kids, don't get too high or too low. Just kind of temper yourself. Doesn't matter what you're doing, from playing athletics or anything else. Just don't
moderation.
Get too, yeah, keep it balanced. But you see big swings here. You back it off, though, a little bit. There are more milder versions or forms of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Dysthymia and cyclothymia. Dysthymia would be where you have sort of a mild version of major depression. I feel stuck. It's kind of flat. It's negative. You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not heavy, but at the same time, I just really feel I've just been pounded. I'm not myself. I'm not there. The mild forms of ups and downs, cyclothymia, can be not extreme highs or lows, but still going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about that, we'll talk about treatment here in a moment. Typically, when you experience a high, you don't feel like you're what? Depressed anymore.
Yeah.
And in treating bipolar disorder, one of the greatest challenges you have in treatment as a physician or what have you, or a counselor, is just helping people maintain balance with, say, medication, if that's what their need is. Got it?
Because
when they hit a high, I don't need anything anymore. Couldn't be any further from the truth if there is significant biology. We come back, you guys. Okay, these are the signs of depression. Why are they important? Because I think there are a lot of people out there who are depressed, who don't know it, and they're going on and just fighting against stuff they don't need to fight against. And when you look at the outcome-based research, 80 to 90% of people who actually seek out help for depression get a relief from their signs of depression, and they're able to enjoy life a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Why are we living so stuck?
Mm-hmm.
I know there are a lot of questions in Christianity around this. Linda, we were talking about them.
Yes.
We're going to try to talk about those questions and answers when we come back after the bottom of the hour.
Our topic today, depression.
Yeah, we're talking about how significant depression is in our lives. A lot of people around us, by the way, who are depressed, who need help. And I'll be the first to say, too, as a counselor, there are some people around there, around us, who aren't really that depressed. You get what I'm saying? But they're just looking for attention and more. And, and I know there's a balance issue here in all this. But let's go to the causes, because I think when you understand the causes of depression, for example, there are there's going to be a lot of conversations out there probably going toward the Warren family and others about everything that took place. And everybody has their their thoughts, if you will. But everybody needs just to step back. This is a time to be supportive. You got what I'm saying? And when you understand the causes of the peace, it shuts everybody up for a moment. Biology is certainly a big issue. Okay? There is such a thing as brain chemical imbalances that cause depression. Neurotransmitters, brain chemicals like serotonin and dopamine levels, if they get out of whack, you need some type of medical attention. Period. Okay? I want people to hear that up front. If I'm treating someone for depression, the very first thing I'm doing is I'm sending that person to a physician for an examination. You hear what I'm saying? There's no sense in fighting something that I can't fight. So biology is an issue. Let me say the word physical issues here for a moment, too. I'm going to differentiate this in a moment. It would be like sleep loss, diet issues like nutritional shortages. There is some research out there now showing there's a link between depression and vitamin B12. There's a link between depression, some are saying, and iron deficiencies. Others are saying thyroid can cause depression. Hormone fluctuations. All the ladies will say, and anybody married to someone going through menopause right now. And that's not
huge, Dr. Tim. It really is huge.
Yes. And people say, wait a second, what do you mean? Well, think of this too, postpartum depression.
Yes, the hormone fluctuations.
And so if you're honest there, it starts making sense. Not just think if all these things are starting to compound in your life. Let me throw a third type in here: personality issues. Let's just say you went through a lot of loss early in your life. Didn't make sense out of it. Maybe you're more of a perfectionist, high morals type person. In the research, that's what they talk about. You would tend to be more guilt prone if you don't, quote, live up to that expectation in your life. You're this huge perfectionist, and any little glitch in your life throws you off and makes you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
See that? You shave one, Michael?
You what?
You shave one?
I shave one.
No, do you shave one, meaning yourself?
Oh, yes.
I've never heard that said. I tend to be a perfectionist at times.
We're going to get him there, Linda.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're easily hurt, for example, and you take things personal, sensitive. You struggle with rejection, failure, or stress. You just don't manage stress well.
We're all depressed, I think.
Interpersonal issues.
Really? If you add any of those into our lives, we're all depressed.
That was good.
Oh, my
God. Hey, relationship issues fit in here. Interpersonal issues. We know this, for example, if you're in a tough marriage, it especially for women. It has profound influence. For men, loneliness is a big kicker here.
Yeah,
nothing worse for men than that loneliness factor. But most men are very alone. They don't talk to anybody about anything. I find this a lot in pastors. They don't do that. Relational conflict, just experiencing a lot of relational conflict, say with a mom or dad or what have you, and it's just like overwhelming. Let me throw in one more piece here, the spiritual issue. Could be like David as a result of sin, where he was overwhelmed in brokenness. It could be bitterness in your life, maybe a lack of confidence in God. That guilting and shaming piece is significant. Even satanic assault, when it just feels like the whole world's against you and you just get pounded. You start throwing all this together, and then closing thought here. In counseling, we often talk about vertical and horizontal stressors. Horizontal stressors would be the everyday flow of life. They're just natural transitions, kids leaving home, loss of a parent, things like that.
Life.
Let me drop a bomb in. We call those vertical stressors. Boom. Out of nowhere, you lose a job. Boom. out of nowhere, you got some crazy payment due. Boom. You hear what I'm saying?
Life dramatically changes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When all that starts coming at you, it's easy, let me say it again, to get down and discouraged. Mm-hmm. It can even lead to a place where the wheels are coming off and you feel completely at loss and you can't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University, joining us. And we're talking about depression, and I'll have to throw this in, Dr. Tim. I was raised in a Christian home. My mother, the one thing I remember about my mother and her sisters is that they were depressed. And my mother lived depressed, and she passed away depressed. Mm. But back then, when you were struggling with depression in the church, it was a spiritual issue. It was not clinical. So there was always the demons. There was always the more prayer, the more fasting. And that did not bring any relief. And it wasn't considered good to go for clinical help for depression when I was growing up. That was not an option because depression was spiritual.
Yeah.
Got a comment on that. That's huge.
It's been a depressing morning.
It is depressing.
I know.
I feel like the Grinch. What am I doing tonight? Dinner with myself tonight. Self-loathing. I'm going to check it all off. Yes. And when you think about it.
I love that.
Yeah, and when you think about it, Linda, you are right. Let me say this first. When you go back to the causes, there is such a thing as spiritually oriented precipitated depressions. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, at times, that is the right answer. But what happened in the church, it was like, wait a second, don't tell me because we're trying all that and it's not changing. Mm-hmm. There's something more going on here. And see, as we have evolved in our understanding of depression, for example, we now change our approach. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Mm-hmm. For certain families, say like your mother, it could have been much more significantly related to, say, to her biology.
Absolutely, yes.
See that? Mm-hmm. And so here she is thinking she's going to pray her way out of it.
Yeah.
Never happened.
And we all understand the value of that, and hopefully God, through prayer, brings into our life the people, the resources, the whatever it is. But her relief could have come from some excellent physician who, with the new understanding of depressions, antidepressants, and by the way, there are all kinds of different types of antidepressants. Just because one doesn't help you, that doesn't mean you're not treatable.
Yeah,
you just need to get on the right antidepressant, for example, if it's biology or physically related in depression.
Right.
Are we all together?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let me say this before we move into our closing thoughts. 80% of people who actually have the symptoms of depression are not getting help. Wow. That's what's stunning here for a moment. And part of it is my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. All we want to do is happy, 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 happy. You know what I'm saying? And we all want to live on the upside.
Yeah.
But there are times when you're getting your world rocked and nobody wants to talk about it. We want to do more positive coaching, etc. That's not going to fix it.
Nope.
And I don't care how long you keep your eyes closed while you're riding your bicycle thinking it's going to go away. It's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it, 80 to 90% of people who actually seek out help for depression get relief.
That high?
Yes.
80 to 90%.
That's clinical outcome research. When you look at the meta-analysis of all the outcome studies, that's what we're finding. What do we need to be sensitive to? It goes back to the causes, okay? Number one, physical health, the biology piece, the physical thing. Get a medical checkup. Little things, by the way, exercise has proven to be helpful in elevating mood.
Yeah.
I have to qualify that for a moment. Always get a checkup before you exercise. You know that? Get in there and make sure that you can handle stress, et cetera, and rigorous workouts. Get it done. But hey, exercise, what does it do? It actually impacts the brain, which releases endorphins, which helps create mood differences.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it makes sense. You guys see the recent piece that came out, I think, last week or the week before? They've now moved it up from 3 exercises a week, 20-minute exercises, to 5 a week now.
My goodness.
5 a week is what they're saying. Well, there's no drug like exercise. It's that significant in your life.
Wow.
If you're not exercising, you need to be, seriously, especially women.
Yes, and it can start with simple things like a walk.
Mm-hmm.
So put walking into your schedule.
Yeah, and exercise with someone. Why? Well, it makes it a whole lot more fun.
Yeah.
And accountability. Mm-hmm. Somebody's showing up at 6 a.m. at your door. My brother Jimmy does. That's why I get up and make sure I'm down there, because if I don't, the alarm's going off. You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
But 90% of success is showing up. Get the biology piece straight. Some have asked, what about homeopathic remedies, etc., like St. John's wort, things like that. I would say, again, go back to your physician. Make sure you understand your biology, because there's allergy issues, all kinds of things that can have influence on you. The second thing, consider the causes. That goes back to personality-related themes, life changes, loss, divorce, kids leaving, kinds of stuff. This would be a good technique right here. Journal your life a little while. Often, I've been challenging myself and people around me to do just a time wheel. Take 3 to 5 days, put a 24-hour clock on there, and document every moment what you're doing in your 24-hour period. It's very revealing.
Mm.
And then what's going on? One of the things we do in treating depression is we also ask people to journal. Okay, tell me what time of the day that you are battling with depression. What are you thinking during those times? What are you thinking about? Is it a person? Is it a past event, etc.? Find out what some of the triggers are that are bringing it about. The third thing is, here's the big word, thinking. In depression, one of the greatest challenges is the stinking thinking piece, the self-loathing that Grinch was talking about. You look at these cartoons like that or what have you, stories, and you see this stuff popping up. A lot of it's born out of this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the great challenge in Scripture is to learn to think on things that are true, noble, just, of good report, and more. Our greatest challenge, yesterday I was at a baseball game. Coy Tomlin is autistic. Everybody knows Randy and Janet Tomlin. Randy played in the major leagues. He's a coach at Liberty Christian Academy. I was at a baseball game, and Coy was with Julie and I, two of us.
Sure.
We're taking care of Coy. He's 20 years old. Great lesson yesterday. He always comes up to me and says, "Coach Tim, help me." And he points to his brain, "Help me throw strikes." Okay? And we talked back and forth. And he was saying to me yesterday, "I can't throw strikes. I can't throw strikes, Coach Tim. Help me." And I just said, "Coy, you have to change the way you're thinking." I'm talking to myself.
Sure.
I said, can you throw strikes? "Yes, I can." But then you have to tell yourself, "I can throw strikes," because your greatest battle is where, Coach Tim? Coach Tim, talk to yourself. It's in your mind. You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
The greatest battle we have is right here. 2 Corinthians 10:5. You got to take every thought captive. My life's horrible. It's out of control. I never have hope. It's never going to turn around for me. That just continues to pull you down and continue the disengagement we talked about earlier. One last thought. Support. You got to have support around you. Every Paul needs a Timothy. Every Timothy needs a Paul. In his or her life. That's what it's all about. It's natural to disengage, but getting through it is a theory of engagement, where you get back into life. You get the blood flow coming back. Stop stopping it. I know that everybody needs a break. You need to get control for a moment, but you don't disengage. You got to figure out how to engage in meaningful ways. And there's nothing wrong with having depression, you all. There's nothing wrong with battling. It is if you don't get help and support. You got what I'm saying? It is if Christ isn't at the heart of that, because the one thing medicine can't give you, by the way, can help you a lot. Not everybody needs to be on medicine. That's not what I'm saying this morning at all. I'm just trying to give a general overview of all this. The one thing that medicine can't give you, and this is why medical and counseling, pastoral care type support is important, is because it's about hope. Medicine can't give you hope. Our hope, Psalm 42, "Why is my soul cast down? Hope thou in God." That's the beauty of what we do here as we embrace our faith. All right, bless you guys. Hope it wasn't too depressing.
Hi.